Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you, lifting up this time of fellowship, Lord God, worshiping and giving glory unto you. Lord God, thank you for being the God of all creation, the God of peace. Thank you for giving revelation to your word and the teaching thereof. Father, I ask that as I decrease, you would increase in me to teach your people your word. Father, in the name of Jesus, bless us and keep us, Lord God. Forgive us for our sins. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness, Lord God. Let us look towards the hills from whence come our help. Our help comes from the Lord. In Jesus' name, we love you and we thank you. Amen. 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 We are in Proverbs chapter 30, starting at verse 1. Proverbs chapter 30, starting at verse 1. The words of Agur, the son of Jacob, even the prophecy the man spake to Ithiel, even to Ithiel and Ucal. Surely I am more brutish than any man, and have not the understanding of a man. I neither learn wisdom, nor have the knowledge of the holy. Who shall ascend into heaven, or descend? Who shall gather the wind in his fist? Who hath bound the waters in a garment? Who hath established all the ends of the earth? What is his name? What is his son's name, if thou canst tell? Every word of God is pure. He is a shield to them that put their trust in him. And then it says, add not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. Let's deal with this first portion of this. These are the words of the son of Jacob. And he was speaking them on the Ithiel and even the Ucal. And he kept speaking to me. He said, surely I am more brutish, which is another word for stupid, than any man. And have not understood the understanding of a man. So he does not understand the way of a man. Because he is more brutish than any man. He just takes things by his emotion. He takes things by how he feels. He just goes after it. You know what I mean? That's a brute. That whatever they feel, they do it. He just takes the bull by the horn, and even if it is to his demise, he'll just grab the bull and try to tackle it. He's just a brute, which is considered to be stupid, because there's a wise way to beat a bull. But he's not that kind of man. He's just that kind of man that does not have the understanding of a man. And then he goes on to say in 3, I neither learned wisdom. And then he goes on to say, nor the knowledge of the holy. So he doesn't have wisdom. He's not following wisdom. He's not following the Holy One. He's just following his brute instincts, his manly instincts. And he had the good sense to say this. Who hath ascended into heaven or descended? Who hath gathered the wind in his fist? Who hath bound the waters up in a garment? Who hath established all the ends of the earth? What is his name? And what is his son's name, if thou canst tell? So even being a brute, even a person following his emotions, even a person not having the understanding of the holy, nor the understanding of what it is to be a man, even someone like him had the good common sense to ask the question, who has ascended into heaven and descended? Who has gathered the wind in his fist? Who has bound the waters in a garment? Who has established all the ends of the earth? What is his name? And what is his son's name? So he not only knew what was his name, he not only knew there was a name, but then he also knew there was a son that had a name. But he didn't understand the holy. He didn't have understanding of wisdom. He didn't have understanding of all the ins and outs of the church, all the protocol of the church. He didn't have the understanding of how to do this and how to do that. He had simple, simplistic, brute understanding. In most cases, people would have called him stupid. But even the stupid can teach the wise something. See, I know the stupid can teach the wise something, because God said he uses the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. And then I remember there was a prophet going the wrong way, and his jackass turned around and made him speak. God made the jackass speak to the prophet and tell him he was in danger. See, you can be a total jackass like me and God will use you. Has nothing to do with that. It has to do with the heart. God chooses the contrite heart that he will not despise. Somebody who is broken and comes to him in humility, he will not despise that. So this man came and he said, what is his name? What is his son's name? If thou canst tell. If thou canst tell. Then he said something profound. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield to them that put their trust in him. So he may not be the most learned man. He may not be the most understand, but he had a simple understanding that every word of God is pure. And he's a shield to them that put their trust in him. So he knew that his word was pure. And he knew that if he put his trust in him, that God would protect him, that he would be his shield. And then in 6 he said, add not to his words, lest he reprove thee and be found a liar. Now he just said he wasn't wise. But that was a very wise and profound statement he just made. Because he had simplistic knowledge. He had simplistic understanding. He didn't operate in every area of his life. But when it came to God, he knew who the king was. Now I want you to take a look at 6 again. Add not unto his words. Nowadays we have everybody adding to his word. Nowadays we have people adding their own version. And people say, oh, well, that's just your interpretation. Or that is somebody else's interpretation of the word. No. Let me break it down for you. We use scripture to define scripture. If you use scripture to define scripture, then you will never be in danger of taking God's word out of context. But he said, by every word of God, let it be established by two or more, that every word of God may be established. So you don't just find one witness of your belief. See, you find another, and then you find another. And if you see it at least 2 times in the Bible from 2 different sections, then you know it's true. How do I know that? I'm so glad you asked me. Because I'm looking at this and it says, add not unto his word. So that automatically resonates with me at the end of the Bible in Revelations chapter 22. Let's turn to it. I want you to see how serious this is. We're going to start at 22:18. The very last statement made before Jesus says, surely I come quickly. He said, for I testify to every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add to these, God will add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things that are written in this book. So if God is taking their part out of the book of life, and God is taking their name out of the holy city, he's taking it out, then they're no longer his. See, don't get caught up into that lie, once saved, always saved. Don't get caught up into it. If you want to stay saved, you got to stay in Jesus. Stay with Jesus, and you got to make sure Jesus is in you. The scripture says, if you abide in me and my word abide in you, then you will ask what you will, and it shall be given. If his word does not abide in you, then you are not a studier of Christ. You are not a disciple of Christ. And if you are not a disciple of Christ, the scripture says in St. John 15, St. John 8, chapter 8, that you are not a disciple of his. But if you continue in his word, then he will set you free. So you are not free. You are not free if you do not continue in the word. That is the proof. And the one thing that I found out, everybody wants to believe so, brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so, Bishop Flip-Flack, and Erky Jerky, and everybody. We want to believe all them people, but we do not want to believe the word of God. This is how people add to the word of God and take away from the word of God. But there is a punishment for doing it. Let me read it again. For I testify on that, starting at 22:18 in Revelation. For I testify unto every man that heareth the word of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add to these things, God shall add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the prophecy of this book, words of the book, of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things that are written in this book. And I've always thought that that was just for the book of Revelations until I found out that it is said in other parts of the Bible where it says, do not add or do not take away from his word. So those are warnings. Those are warnings. And then who's saying it? It says in 20, he which testifies these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. So it is God that is telling you through his word. Don't add to his word. Don't take away from his word. So when you tell a piece of scripture and do not have the contextual understanding, you're in danger. And when you over-exaggerate his word and add things that are not written in there, you're in danger. Why? Because God don't need you putting your spin on it. He needs you to repeat what he said and leave it there, because it is the word of God that changes minds. It is the word of God that changes hearts. It is the word of God that rejuvenates and renews life. It is the word of God that brings people into salvation. It is the word of God that teaches them to be the son after becoming the servant where they were the foolish child. It is the word of God that transmogrifies and transforms their lives into something beautiful. God makes all things beautiful in his time, but he uses the word of God to do it. He washes us with the word of God. He cleanses us with the word of God. He strengthens us with the word of God. Our faith is by the word of God. Our belief system is by the word of God. Our very existence is by the word of God. And every time you turn around, somebody's trying to shut up, chop down, tear down this word. I don't care who you listen to. You should not be listening to them without your Bible in front of you. Don't believe me. Believe the word of God. I don't want you to come to church without your Bible. Get your Bible and read what I'm saying. Get the understanding of what's being spoken. See? Because I know people that will get up on the pulpit and twist and push their own agendas irregardless of what the Bible says. They will tell you what you read was not exactly right. And I've had a lot of problems with a lot of people for a lot of years who would push that agenda. But I don't play that, because it says it over here in Proverbs. Let's go back to Proverbs 30. Add not unto his words. That means something. Why? Lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. So if you add to his words, he is going to reprove you. He's going to have to reprove you. And then you're going to be found out a liar. And you're going to have to go back and tell people that you lied. But people don't want to do that. When they found out they were wrong, they don't want to come back and admit they were wrong. And so are you really saved? Are you really a child of God? Are you really anointed and appointed? Are you really his? How much do you love him? Do you love him enough to put your neck on the auction block so it can be chopped off? Or will you hold on to your emotions and your feelings and take the mark anyway? You got to start asking yourself the question, because we are in those days. It is coming, and it is coming quickly. And the Lord said, I come quickly, thus saith the Lord. And so it's time to quit playing these games. In 7 of 30, we're back in Proverbs 30. And 7, it says, two things have I required of thee. Deny me them not before I die. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me poverty, nor riches. Feed me with the food of convenience, the food convenient for me. Lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of the Lord God in vain. So he's making it very plain. There are two things he had required before he died. Remove far from him vanity, useless things, and lies. Useless things and lies. How do you overcome a lie? By admitting you've lied. There is no other way to overcome the lie. Now, there's a way to be forgiven for the lie. You ask the Lord to forgive you. But how do you overcome the lie? You must humble yourself and say, you know what, brother, I'm sorry. You know what, sister, I apologize. That wasn't right. See? And this is the plight people put themselves in. People are in the church lying all the time. I call it prophesying. Talking about they prophesying and prophesying. But then they don't want to come to the table when it was wrong and say, you know what, I got my signals crossed. Something was wrong. Because even the best of them had it wrong. See? The best of them. So, and then he goes on to say, give me neither poverty nor riches. I don't want to be poor or rich. Feed me with food that is convenient for me. Feed me with food that is beneficial for me, convenient for me, that it works for me. He said, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Excuse me. Lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. Useless. All these things are useless. Vanity of vanities. They serve no purpose. And we seem to want to indulge in the things that serve no purpose. We want to be accountable for the things that work. We want to be accountable and we want to serve with the things that lead to death. They don't lead to life. We put things before God that are steeped in tradition, but shrouded in death. The very ideology of what we do is shrouded in death. When it has nothing to do with God. 10. Curse not or accuse not a servant unto his master, lest he curse thee and thou be found guilty. So don't accuse a servant unto his master. Don't go to the master and accuse the servant. Don't go to God and accuse somebody. Don't come with accusation. Why? Because the Bible says the accuser of the brethren is Satan. So when you're accusing the brethren, you are working for the devil. The devil is using you. Accusations. And you know they're lies, but you can't stop it. Why? Because you're now in service to the father of lies, which in St. John chapter 8 is the devil. There is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their filthiness. There is a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. There is a generation whose teeth are as swords and their jaw teeth are as knives to devour the poor from off the earth, and the needy from among men. Let's deal with those. There is a generation, and I believe if you look around, you'll see us caught up in that generation now. They don't honor their father. They don't honor their mother. And the things that they do to honor their mother, they don't even think about the mother. It's just stuff that they want to do that they feel is right. Because they have been born by the mother, but it's not beneficial for the mother. If you're going to honor somebody, if it works for you, it's got to work for them. If it does not work for them, then you're just blowing steam and smoke. You're not saying anything. They don't honor them. There is this generation that are pure in their own eyes, self-righteous in their own eyes, but are not washed from their own filthiness. Isn't it amazing that we blame everybody else and their mama and we point out everything and we got our own dirt? It amazes me when someone gets up and constantly blames somebody and keeps blaming somebody and keep blaming somebody and keep blaming them. And when it comes to their own mess, they're not blaming themselves like that. No. With the measure that you give it out, that's the measure that's going to be turned back onto you again. So you need to understand who God is and how vengeance is mine. Thus saith the Lord, I will repay. You need to quit flapping them choppers and quit talking about people. you need to give it up. And that's just generation. He also goes in 12 and says, there's a generation, 13, there's a generation. Oh, how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. Have you ever been in a church where people just feel like they walk around like they're just so righteous? They just lift their heads up and they walk just as though there's just nothing wrong, like they're just holier than thou. That is a very high, lofty look. And it's sad because they are just men. But somehow they put on their uniform and they think they are better than all those. That's the way they tried to do Jesus. And they were foolish enough to send him to the cross. There is this generation, and that is us. And then 14, there's a generation whose teeth are as sword, and their jaw teeth are as knives, to devour the poor off the earth, and the needy from among men. We were serving food, and police officers pulled up and talked bad about the poor. Even asked the question from one of the brothers, show me in the Bible where it says you're supposed to feed the poor. And I thank God that that brother had good enough sense to just pray for him and don't even respond to that foolishness. That man cannot know God if he made that statement. Trying to talk people out of feeding the homeless. And the foolish thing about it is that we met that person out there, and they were so grateful for us to spend the time to feed them. And first thing come out of their mouth is, do you have a permit? Well, we're going to get a permit. But it's crazy that you should even have to do that to feed people. We met a woman out there and her kids that were so happy to have food sleeping in the tent. And she's stuck. They cut off both her legs. They amputated her legs because of diabetes. She's homeless sleeping in the tent because of diabetes. And I wish I could do something for her. I wish I could do something for her and get her off the streets. I'm looking. I haven't found her yet, but hopefully I will. Because she needs to be off the streets in that heat. And she's got both her legs amputated. She's still got the kneecaps. And she's laying in the tent. And they were so happy that we brought them food. Just overjoyed. 15, the horse leech has two daughters crying, give, give. There are three things that are never satisfied. Yea, four things. Say not enough. Say not it is enough. The grave, the barren womb, the earth that is not filled with water, and the fire that saith not it is enough. So the horse leech has two daughters that says, give, give. Why is this significant? Because if the father is the horse leech or the mother is the horse leech, the thing that leeches onto the horse, the bug that leeches onto the horse and causes him pain constantly and won't, yield and won't give up, you have to take a knife and cut it off the horse. And kill it, lest it jump back on the horse. That's a horse leech. Well, if the parent is like that, then what do you think the children are going to be? Gimme, 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 gimme. What about me? What about me? What about me? Gimme, 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 gimme. I got to have, I got to have. And they look at you, smile in the face and say, oh, I love you. But they don't care nothing about you. They just want what you got. That's today's generation. Never satisfied. Always want more. That has to do with the way they were raised. That's not normal. But that's what happens when they come, when they are the children of someone who always says, give me, give me, give me, give me. What about me? What about me? I'm sorry to be so sober with you, but I mean, we're in the late hour. I don't have time to be just scratching people's backs. And then the second part of that says, there are three things that are never satisfied. Yea, four things say not enough. The grave never says enough. It wants more dead. The barren womb. When the womb is barren, the barren womb never gets done with trying. Every time they're trying to have a baby. And their womb is barren. Now, I'm not talking about women who have lost a child. God forbid. Their womb is not barren. They were able to carry the child. Something may have happened. Me and my wife lost two before we had Zaire. So trust me. I understand what that is. But there are some women who just cannot get pregnant. And their womb is never satisfied because it wants to have fruit from the womb. And then it says, the earth that is not filled with water. When the earth has no water, everything is dry. And nothing is satisfied. And then the fire that saith not, it is enough. The fire just burns, consumes, it just spreads. It never stops at a certain point. Unless it's put out, it will burn, and it will never be enough. And it will keep burning. It will find something else to burn. And jump cities and jump counties. And go through the forest and jump to another forest. It's never enough. It's never enough. 17. The eyes that mock it at his father and despise it to obey his mother. Talking about the eyes, the very eyes that roll their eyes at his father and despise to obey his mother. And the ravens of the valleys shall pick it out. And the young eagles shall eat it. So you have to be very careful. You're sitting around there rolling your eyes and cutting your eyes and side-eyeing your parents like you got the right. Well, the raven's going to pluck your eyes out. You need to be careful. Because somebody that gave birth to you and been taking care of you, they deserve your respect. Even if they go against what you agree with. 18. There be three things which are too wonderful for me. Yea, for which I know not. The way of an eagle in the air. The way of a serpent on a rock. The way of a ship in the midst of the sea. And the way of a man with a maid. I love the way he put this together. There be three things which are too wonderful for me. Yea, four which I know not. All four of them. He says, the way of an eagle in the air. I don't know what it is to soar at such heights and look down upon the earth. It's got to be something wonderful. That's why man has always wanted to fly. And then a serpent upon a rock. I really don't understand too much of the significance, but a serpent knows how to crawl up the side of a rock and stick. I don't know what that is. He crawls up the side and he comes up on the top and he sits up on there. And I guess that's a tremendous thing to watch. I've never seen it, but I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is, but we got rock climbers. Maybe they do. And the way of a ship in the midst of the sea, just crashing through them waves and still going forward. Nothing moving you. The waves aren't big enough to topple you over. And then a man, the way of a man with a maid. I don't know anything about none of that. But the Bible says it is just too wonderful for him. Too wonderful for him to even think about it. So I just say, praise God for the man with the maid. Maybe one day he will bless us with that. But then even knowing me and the way I like my stuff clean, I don't know if I would want anybody washing my clothes and washing my dishes. I like to know the stuff is clean because I cleaned it. And so I'm just partial to that. But to be able to have things done, oh yeah, I can understand it from that point. So God bless you. I pray that you got the things that you needed from this and that we are going to continue to bring this to you as we continue in the 20th verse of 30. We are coming out of Proverbs, getting ready to go into Matthew. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for the presence of the Lord being here, the Holy Spirit for showing up. Holy Spirit, thank you for using us and speaking this word. Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask that you would glorify yourself through us. Use us. In the precious name of Jesus, we love you and we thank you. Amen.
One, make it kill off each other with a knife or a gun, you having fun. But in the end, you'll be judged by the Lord, cause he gave the 10 commandments for you to follow, but you ignored. You living in sin, abomination against the ways of good. Now reading scripture, praying to God, even though you know you should. I try to keep myself together and the Lord I seek it. Trying to treat my people right, listen to everything he's speaking. No, I'm not a teacher, a preacher trying to preach. I'm just speaking on some truth into your souls I want to reach. So learn about the man upstairs, look, he ain't a stranger. And get right with him, cause if you don't, then you're in danger.
Yeah.